Welcome back to Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you still call it, at LewisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. It's also right there on the bottom screen if you are watching on the YouTube channel. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I am recording, it's halftime of the Raiders and Cowboys game. Cowboys have been putting a whooping 24-6 with like 14 seconds left in the first half. It's been all Dak Prescott today so far, which on the first drive, though, the news broke out of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens on the bench on the first drive. So who knows what's to come of that, because that's newsworthy, but so far, obviously, during this recording, I don't really have much detail to go on. But on today's show, I will be talking about some games, injuries that always keep happening, and man, it is a big injury week, and I felt it personally hard. My thoughts on week 11s, and I'll give you my waiver targets, give you a few at each position you should be looking out for. But with that, let's get fantasy. So the biggest news, it can't come at a worst possible time, as we are just finishing up week 11 here. Us fantasy gamers, it's just so bad this week. I felt it personally. Last week I had two matches I lost by less than 2 points, and I had Garrett Wilson in both of those. Those injuries cost me two leagues wins just because of the not getting anything. And then this week hurts again because I have Michael Penix and Drake London, and I also have Josh Jacobs. I did have Kelvin Ridley, but I got rid of him. But let's get into who's hurt now. Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix Jr. It sounds like it's a season-ending injury. He aggravated his knee that he hurt earlier in the season. And he's already been placed on IR from today, and he will miss the rest of the season. So it looks like Kirk Cousins is getting $40 million to actually start now, finally. So that's good news for Falcons. That's why you pay your backup $40 million. Not really, but anyways, yeah, it's a blow. We've seen in the game. I'll talk about it in a little bit. They didn't really move the ball much after Penix got out. I mean, Penix had let me just look at it, 175 yards, and Kirk Cousins had 48. Yikes. They had not moved the ball once Cousins was in. They threw about the same amount of pass attempts. And then it doesn't help also that Drake London sprained his PCL in his knee and is already ruled out for week 12. And we're waiting to see how long he's going to be out for. This really sucks for Falcons, fantasy gamers, for us, you know, especially if you wanted that connection. You got both of them. Now they're both hurt with the knee injury. And don't forget, the Atlanta Falcons traded their first round draft pick for this upcoming draft. And that was to the Saints. Or to the LA Rams. I keep on feeling like it's St. Louis Rams. But to the Rams, it's currently number 8 overall. Could we see a possible future quarterback after Matthew Stafford, even though he's putting up MVP-type numbers? It'll be to see. Moving on, Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs' knee left early in the game in the second quarter. He was just getting started. And it doesn't sound like it's a serious knee injury, but he shouldn't be missing time. And if that's the case, Emmanuel Wilson is a guy that you must get. We'll talk about him later on as well. And that's another big blow because Josh Jacobs is a top 10 running back in fantasy football and in real football. But it's just a huge another blow. LA Chargers, Kamai Vidal. You know, first it was Najee Harris, Omarion Hampton. Now Kamai Vidal left the game in the first half with a thigh injury. Sounds like it's just a bruise, hopefully, and did not return. It's unfortunate for him. But, again, I don't know what to say for it. So it looks like they might be passing. The whole team did not play well at all for the Chargers against a Jacksonville team that just put a whop, just walloped that ass on them. Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers. Sounds like he fractured his left wrist. He might miss a game or two, possibly longer, or he might not miss at all. It all depends on the pain tolerance, I guess you would say, for him. But he fractured his left wrist, which is his non-throwing wrist, at least. But we'll monitor that and keep you up to date on if he's playing or not. If he's not, it sounds like Mason Rudolph, I do believe, was the guy that came in for him. Let's just double check, fact check this real quick. Let's see. I believe it was Mason Rudolph because he should. Yep, Mason Rudolph, which actually played 12 for 16, 127 and a touchdown. So not terrible. And presence of coming in for Aaron Rodgers on late notice. Jalen Warren also injured his ankle in that game. Sounds like he can play. If it was a close game, he probably could have came in and played on it, how he made it sound. But it's still newsworthy that just monitor, because Kenny Gainwell might be getting some more reps just to save Jalen Warren. Tennessee Titans, Calvin Ridley. It's basically a wash season for him. You know, he injured his hamstring early on this year. Now he broke his fibula, is out for the remainder of the season. He might not even be back with the Titans next year. They could probably get out of his contract, saving some money or having like $10 million in dead cap, I think. Compared to like paying him $30 million or $24 or something like that. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. But I expect him to probably not be a Titan next year. And I think he's going to be 31 next year, 32. Chimiri Adike, concussion ruled out in the first half as well. So another wide receiver. So Alec Amanor possibly could be a... hopefully help out Cam Ward, because that team's disaster already. Buffalo Bills, they sacked Keon Coleman due to disciplinary reasons. I mean, it hasn't really came out exactly what was the reason, but he was a healthy scratch. I mean, it's hard to say what exactly it is. I haven't read anything, but it's just been an inside locker room discussion. Mecole Hardman also was ruled out in the second half with a calf injury. But the Cleveland Browns, Dylan Gabriel, ruled out with a concussion of week 11. So you know what that meant. Shredder time, baby. So with a concussion, is it now Shedeur Sanders' time? Usually, you know, we see it time and time again. If the quarterback gets injured with a concussion or, you know, at any player, they typically do not play the following week. So if Gabriel had a concussion, perhaps we see Shedeur Sanders next week. And I think this would be amazing time to actually give him first team reps. He has yet to get single first team reps, as it's been reported, throughout the whole season. So if he actually gets some reps, you know, I know he didn't play the greatest, but let's look at his stats. I know he didn't have that great of stats. But if he could actually play and have first team reps and everything else like that, like a normal starting quarterback would get, this could be big news. I mean, he did lead them almost to a game-winning drive. Unfortunately, got stalled at the Baltimore's 25-yard line with a go-ahead touchdown. He just missed, overthrew a guy in the end zone. Dylan Gabriel, 7 of 10, 68 yards. Actually, was kind of accurate on that. Shedeur Sanders, 4 for 16, 47 yards and an interception. Not that great. I mean, it wasn't. But at the same time, he has no chemistry with these wide receivers at all. But if they give him practice time and actually watch him, help him out, I think that he's going to be actually big fantasy relevance for Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy going forward. Because Sanders, even though this game he didn't have the greatest accuracy, but he is a more accurate passer than Dylan Gabriel from college. But it's all about that timing and rhythm. If you don't have any, if you've never thrown to Jerry Jeudy, you don't know exactly how his speed is or if he's going to take the cut upright. You know, is he going to flat it out, go up? It's always a mystery. So they got to be on the same page as well. But I think this is good news for the Browns. I know they want to try so hard not to play him, but play Shedeur Sanders. He's going to give you the best opportunity to win. Now, let's jump in some of these games, though, and talk about them. Carolina Panthers win in overtime against Atlanta Falcons. We already discussed Michael Penix and Drake London out with the knee injuries. Penix, season-ending. Drake London did have 7 catches, 119 yards before he exited. It's just a huge blow, but maybe leaning on Bijan Robinson coming up, that's the only thing that you can hope for. You know, he had 104 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. He also contributed in the air, 4 catches, 39 yards. Darnell Mooney could get some work in there and some volume with London out, 3 catches, 34 yards. Kyle Pitts as well, but these are just some guys that you might want to look and see if they're on free agency. But the big news is Bryce Young. Yes, the guy that was drafted number one overall a couple years back, everyone wrote him off. They probably still are writing him off. 448 yards passing, 3 interceptions. No interceptions. None. Finally, he does it. I mean, I did not expect him to ever go over 400 yards, but congratulations. Round of applause for Bryce Young. Rico Dowdle had 45 yards rushing, but Bryce Young, man, I can't believe it. And he passed to Teteroa McMillan, the game we all wanted him to see and do from the get-go. 8 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And remember last year, they did draft a guy in the first round. That's a wide receiver. Xavier Leggett. I mean, you know, talk to him like how he does. I don't know. 4 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Big day for both those receivers. And I think, you know, last year we looked, is this turning point? I don't know. We'll talk about it later as well on Bryce Young. But congratulations to the Panthers. They're 6-3 or 6-5. Next game I want to talk about is the big game that I think everyone is looking forward to. the Bills and the Buccaneers. Buccaneers, Baker, I'm kind of a little disappointed in his performance, but he did have a big, I guess he had a mediocre day, I guess you'd say. 173 passing, one touchdown, one interception, but he did have 39 on the ground and a rushing touchdown. But the guy I've been telling everyone to pick up and play, I played him in a couple of my leagues, Sean Tucker. Yes, Sean Tucker. 106 yards rushing, two touchdowns, and he caught two passes, 34 yards, and another score. He had the hat trick for the Buccaneers. They did fall 32-44 against the Bills. White got outperformed by Tucker. White did have 51 yards on the ground as well. And then Emeka Ebuka, 5 catches, 40 yards, kind of a down day for him, you know, production-wise. But I look for him to bounce back as well. And then also, Cade Otton, he was a sit of the week for me. And this is why. The Bills are good against tight ends. Like, this is average of what Bills allows. 2 catches, 28 yards. Check out Friday's episodes of my start sits on at Fantasy End Zone, wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out. On the other side, Josh Allen, 317 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But he also had 40 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. He has 6 touchdowns he accounted for. Big time bounce back for him in a huge way compared to last week's dud performance against Miami. James Cook struggled, only 48 yards on the ground, but no Keon Coleman. Terrell Savers, 4 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Big day for him through the ground or through there. And this is actually speaking volume because he got more work than Khalil Shakir that I thought was going to have a huge game, because there's no Dalton Kincaid, no Coleman. Who's the guy that Allen always trusts? Shakir. But it was not this week. He did not shake his hips. James Cook also had 3 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown as well. Let's look at another game here. I guess it's my Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love, he looked rough right away in the beginning. He did get banged up and got replaced by Malik Willis for the rest of the drive. But he finished with 174, 2 touchdowns. And again, Josh Jacobs had 7 rushes, 40 yards in like the first quarter. And then he bangs up his knee. His replacement, though, Emmanuel Wilson, 40 yards and a touchdown. So be on the lookout for him in your fantasy waivers this week. Romeo Doubs is all about the drops. He had like 3 or 4 drops himself, but he finished with 4 catches, 53 yards. And Christian Watson, big-time game for him in the touchdown department. 4 catches, 46 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's another guy you might want to look out for. On the other side, Jackson Dart did not play. So we got, you know, Jameis Winston. He had 201, 1 interception. He did rush for a touchdown with 10 yards. Tyrone Tracy actually performed well. 19 rushes for 88 yards. Surprised that he did that well. I thought he was going to be kind of sluggish against this good Green Bay rush defense. And then Devin Singletary, he's getting more of the goal line snaps that we're wanting. 44 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. The wide receiver, the receiving aspect, Isaiah Hodgins came off. That might be a guy to kind of keep track of, just to be honest, because I remember a couple of years ago, he went up for 100 yards multiple times late in the season. He's back with the Giants. First game this year with the Giants. 5 catches, 57 yards. It's just somebody you might want to look out for as well. Tracy did have 4 catches, 51 yards. And Theo Johnson, 3 catches, 36 yards. Let's move on to, let's just cover a couple more and then we'll get out of these games and listen to the Podfather as well. But the 49ers and Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett breaks the NFL record on completions. 47 for 57. That's pretty damn good. 452 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He had a monster game. But it's also because they didn't really rush for anything. 36 total yards rushing. But Michael Wilson, 185 yards on 15 catches. Huge day with no Marvin Harrison Jr. Trey McBride does what Trey McBride does. 10 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. And Greg Dortch, 6 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. Huge day for all three of those guys. And on the flip side, Brock Purdy, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. First game back since week 4. He comes out, and they win 41-22 against the Arizona Cardinals. Christian McCaffrey, he gets a hat trick, 81 and 2 on the ground, 5 catches, 40 yards, and a scoring or receiving touchdown. George Kittle, he looks great with Brock Purdy, 6 catches, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Juwan Jennings, 4 catches, 54 yards. Last game we're going to talk about, though, is actually, I think that might be. Let me just look at one real quick. Let's talk about, let's see here. Let's talk about the Lions and Eagles. I know it was not exciting at all. Jared Goff, 255, 1 interception, 1 touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs had a rough day as well. Only 39 yards rushing. But through the air, he did come through. 5 catches, 107. And Jameson Williams, 4 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. St. Brown had 12 targets, but only caught 2 of them for 42 yards. And on the other side, Eagles did win this game 16-9, so it wasn't really a big scoring game. Jalen Hurts, 135 passing. Oh, man. That squeaky wheel, A.J. Brown, though, he caught 7 passes for 49 yards. Maybe this week he'll be quiet. I don't think so. A lot of rumor mills have been saying that no one's happy about the performances of Jalen Hurts and the overall offense in general. Saquon Barkley also had 83 on the ground. It was a bad game to watch. It was pretty boring. But I did go to sleep before about halftime because I could not stay awake for that game. Nonetheless, let's hear a word from the Podfather before I get into 5 players I'm reacting to.
Pour one out for an incredible best ball season. It was a breakout 2025 for Fast Draft, but now the NFL action has started. That means it's DFS season. That's right. You might think, oh, wow, DFS, I can't win DFS. Oh, but you can on Fast Draft. You just pick any 6 guys and you put them in a handful of booster spots. There's no salary rubric you have to follow. You're not going up against thousands of killer bots in these tournaments. Oh, no, 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 no. These are regular people grabbing their 6 favorite plays of the week, and that's all you have to do. And we post the ownership so that you can choose how much chalk you want. There is no drafting. It's called the Quick 6 Super Slam. The Quick 6 Super Slam is the signature DFS contest at Fast Draft. It is changing DFS. We are making DFS great again. So go to fastdraft.app and use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. And let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and download Fast Draft. Use promo code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, for dollar match up to $50 and compete against me and others from here at Player Profiler. Now I'm going to get into my 5 guys I'm reacting to their performance and what I believe. Number one, it's got to be my guy, Sean Tucker. I've been saying it. This man is awesome given the opportunity. Since he's been in the league, he's outperformed Rashad White and Bucky Irving, obviously, is doing a little bit better. Unfortunately, Bucky Irving is injured. Can't stay healthy. But even though Tucker is currently RB1 going into this Monday night game, he only played on 44% of snaps to White 60. I just don't get it. I don't understand how you can keep on giving White more reps than Tucker. Also, remember last year, he had that breakout performance in week 6 where he finishes RB1 in that week. He was given the opportunity because I think both White and Irving was not playing. He only played 38% of those snaps. So can you imagine if Tucker played like 60% of snaps, like what would his overall production be in the NFL if he's given the opportunity? Like, can you just imagine? He was a stud in college. I'm a huge Sean Tucker fan. Came from Syracuse. Hell, I'm wearing a Syracuse sweatshirt right now as we're speaking. I'm a huge Syracuse fan. It's unfortunate in 2023 he was undrafted because of a heart issue that concerned teams, which makes total sense. And he had to wait till he got full clearance to participate in football activity. Then he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now I think the Buccaneers really like him over White. White should be a free agent after this year. So in dynasty leagues, I'm getting Tucker if I could, if I'm you or somebody out there. I really like what he could bring, especially Irving is a good player. He's a good player, but he is also fragile. I mean, he's got banged up week 4 and it's going to be week 12. He might not have even played week, or he might not play in week 12. I don't know. But side note, do you know why he wears the number 44? Put in the chat if you know why. And I'll tell you why, actually. It's because he's from Syracuse. Who is a Syracuse great running back? Jim Brown, the late great Jim Brown. That's why he wears number 44. Let me know in the comments if you actually even knew that. Moving on, because Sean Tucker is a stud. Luther Burden III. This guy is going to probably be one of my top wide receiver ads this week. He outperformed Zacchaeus this week. He outsnapped him, outperformed him. He also had, he played in 44% snaps to Zacchaeus's 13. So now he's already jumped him because it was always that battle, like, yeah. But now he's overtaken. He was just behind Roman Dunze on routes ran in week 11. I think he only was like 6 short compared to a Dunze and 1 target less. He could be in for a big time once fantasy football playoffs gets here. I won't say he's a league winner right now, but I think picking him up can easily pay dividends down the road because I don't know if they're going to even try to keep DJ Moore. So they might just even bump him over DJ Moore later on in the season. We'll see, but I think Luther Burden is somebody to look out for. Number 3 guy I want to talk about, Bryce Young. God damn, why did I cover their games? I don't understand what I did on the show sheet. But do you remember when we thought Bryce Young finished last season on a roll? He was just dominating after dominating after dominating. Like, his final 6 games, he was QB8. This year, he could have started maybe in week 11 instead of week 13. Do we think so? Do we? Do we think that he's going to have a nice, solid finish? Let me know, chat. Is he going to be dominant the rest of the year? I don't think so. I mean, let's be honest. Yes, currently he's number two on the week, throwing for 448 yards and three touchdowns. But I don't think it's going to be like last year. I don't. Hell, I mean, in week two, I do believe he threw for 55 attempts. He was QB8 on the week. And this week he had 45 attempts and is now QB2. So I guess in general, if we look at it, if he throws 40 times per game, he finishes as a top 10 quarterback. But we're not going to get 40 times a game. We're going to get like 30. So keep your expectations lower on Bryce Young. I think he's going to finish in between 18 and 30 on the year. Michael Wilson. God damn it, I did it again. Actually, these next two guys, I've already talked about their games. Just because it was that impressive, I guess. He hauled in 15 of 18 for 185 yards. In one game without Marvin Harrison Jr., he almost doubled his production all season in one game in yards and receptions. It also helps that your quarterback was Jacoby Brissett and set an NFL record for 47 completions for 452 yards. But nonetheless, this doesn't take anything away from Michael Wilson's skill set. I think Harrison Jr. will miss another game, if not to having his appendix removed last week. So with Harrison out, start up Wilson once again in week 12 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like the matchup. Again, I think this is going to be another high-scoring game. I mean, we've just seen Jacksonville put up 35. We could see the Cardinals put up, 22 to 40 anytime. So I feel like they're going to have to pass because they can't really run for crap right now in this year. And like I said, I think they only ran for 38 yards or whatever it was. But yes, yeah, start them up. My last guy I want to talk about is Brock Purdy. Damn. Brock Purdy. I said it last week on my start sits episode that comes out again on Friday. So tune in for that each and every week. I greatly appreciate it, but we have great intel, my co-host Bill and I. But Purdy was my start of the week and currently he's quarterback 5 on the week. He threw for only 200 yards, but 3 scores. He has everyone healthy around him. Christian McCaffrey can take the distance at any minute, anytime. George Kittle is a machine. Juwan Jennings is healthy and producing. Ricky Pearsall is even healthy. He was out there running 75% of snaps. He hasn't been out there since week 4 as well with Brock Purdy. And he'll do much better. Pearsall did. He had one catch, 0 yards. But he's going to do so much better going forward. You can mark my words. I mean, hell, in the two games that he played with Purdy, he had 108 yards and 117 yards. So don't be upset with Pearsall's bad performance. Just stay the course. Don't play him probably next week, but I'd probably play him the following week, Pearsall. But Brock Purdy is a must-play the rest of the season. I love the way this offense moves with him. So I am playing Brock Purdy. Now let's get into my waiver ads of the week. And I guess why not start at quarterback? I'm only going to give you a couple. We kind of talked about them already. But Brock Purdy, I know last week he was available in 50% of the leagues, and I was telling you to pick him up. Hopefully you did. If not, he's available in 38% of the leagues. And he should be added once again. this week. So go out and get yourself Brock Purdy. My number two quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. 78% of leagues he's available. And his starts this year, he had quarterback 7 finish, 12, 10, 10, and currently he's number 3. That is pretty damn good for being available in 78% of leagues. I'm going out and I'm getting myself a Jacoby Brissett, especially if you lost like a Michael Penix or if you have a bye week coming up, you know, just look out and grab yourself Jacoby Brissett. Those were my quarterbacks. There's not so many. It's so hard with quarterbacks because usually you already have one, if not two, on your team. But with running backs, Emmanuel Wilson, 87% of leagues he is available. Finished with 40 yards and a touchdown this week. If Josh Jacobs does miss time, he is a top stash handcuff running back this year. He'll get running back one production with a, running back one workload he will get with a top 10 upside finish per week for Emmanuel Wilson. I'm also going to hammer and say Sean Tucker. I really like him, 71% of leagues. I think he just jumped over Rashad White in the depth chart. I mean, this guy only played 40% of snaps, and he's currently RB2. And we don't even know exactly with Bucky Irving if he's coming back or not. With this kind of production, maybe they're waiting for him to come back later, you know, kind of ramp him up and allow Sean Tucker to take the reins and run with it. Trey Benson is another guy I'm looking to add. 31%. I know it's not high, but he's out there. Look and see if you could add him. I do like him coming back shortly. This offense needs a spark. He could take it the distance pretty much anytime. He's quick, fast, elusive. And he's going to have to help out this Cardinals rushing attack. I mean, 36, 39 yards total. It's not going to cut it in the NFL. So go out and get Trey Benson. A couple other guys I'm going to say is Chris Rodriguez outperformed and outsnapped Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. So be on the lookout for him. He's available in 70% of leagues. Other guys you might consider, Tajay Spears, Devin Singletary, Bershaw Tootin. He did injure his ankle, but just check it out. Those guys might give you some fantasy relevance down the stretch, especially with all these injuries producing and happening. Now for wide receiver, my top guy is Alec Pierce. Available in 42% of leagues. You know, he didn't play last week, so people might drop him just because it's just how things go. People are going to cut players that, oh, he didn't play last week, whatever. But just check it out. He was wide receiver 15 and wide receiver 14 before the bye week. And he's got double-digit targets as well. He could easily give you 15 to 20 to even 25 fantasy points if you're needing somebody to fill in or somebody to stash and keep on playing for bye week streamers. My wide receiver two, Luther Burden. I already mentioned it earlier in the show, but he's available in 81% of snaps or in 81% of leagues on Sleeper. He outsnapped Zaccheaus, so he's already jumped him in the depth chart. You know, we see rookies all the time, each and every year, second half of the season, become league winners. This could be somebody like that as well. So I'm going out and getting Luther Burden. Actually, another guy before Luther Burden would probably be Michael Wilson, available in 61% of leagues. I just said it. He had 15 catches, 185 yards. Plus, this offense is not running the ball well. So I really like what Michael Wilson's doing. Also, I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be back in the next week or two. You know, usually when you get your appendix taken out, you don't want to run towards getting hit, you know, constantly. So you're probably going to want to take a little bit break and get your body right before you come back. Another guy I'm looking at, Christian Watson, available in 62% of leagues. He's a big home run threat. I just said it. He had two touchdowns in his game this past week, week 11. So I'm looking to add him. He is Packers home run deep threat. And there's always a game or two, one or two times per game, that they take a deep shot to Christian Watson. A couple times he's caught him. A couple times it's been out of his reach. Other times he did drop one this past week. So it could have been a bigger game than what it actually was. So go out and look at Christian Watson. A couple other guys. Jaden Higgins, 79% of leagues. He had fantasy production of 15 points, 10 points the last 2 weeks. He's also seen seven targets in each of those. So be on the lookout also for Jaden Higgins, another rookie that might be coming in strong as the season ends. Others, I put Jerry Jeudy. I don't know. He's probably my last guy on this. Alec Ainemunor, just because all the injuries, the targets have to go with somebody. But a guy I'd probably put in front of those guys, Mac Hollins, 84% he's available. Finish as 19 fantasy points and 10 fantasy points the last 2 weeks. And he's been playing about 70% of snaps. So check on him. He might be another guy, especially if Kayshon Boutte is not playing. For tight ends, there's not many. Again, it's kind of like the quarterback position. Hard to find a couple guys that are on the waivers still, but this guy is my number one, Dalton Schultz, 45% of leagues. He is available. Quietly, he is tight end 9 on the year. I did not know that. Tight end 9. Last 5 weeks since the bye week, though, tight end 4 finish, 28. Yeah, that sounds about right. 7, 4, and 6. He is producing at a high level and somebody that you could probably go out and get yourself and start for bye weeks, you know, for the flex play, or even just have him go in and start. Go look for Dalton Schultz. Juwan Johnson, 42% of leagues. He's always on my list. Same thing with Theo Johnson, 52%. Go out, look for Johnson & Johnson to see if they are on your waivers. Go check them out. But, yeah, that is week 12 waiver claims I would be putting in. I'd be, you know, my top-rated guy this week, Emmanuel Wilson, just because it's harder to find. Emmanuel Wilson or Alec Pierce are probably my top two. I also really like Michael Wilson, Sean Tucker. So if I had to rank them this week, just probably between running back and wide receiver, it'd be Emmanuel Wilson, Alec Pierce, Michael Wilson, Sean Tucker, and then Luther Burden. I'd probably also throw in Brock Purdy because I'm high on him as well. Dalton Schultz if I don't have a good wire or tight end right now. But that is Fantasy End Zone. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to follow us here at Player Profiler for expert analysis and fantasy tips throughout each and every week. We got new shows coming out every day here on Player Profiler Plus channel. So tune in for that. Thank you for following along. And follow myself on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWY, LEWIS, And then number five. Also, I'll be back on my show, Fantasy End Zone, on Thursday. That gets released. So tune in for that for the start sits of week 12. Till then, peace out, fantasy gamers.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.